go to the phone lines. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. How about you?
Hey, okay. But you want to talk something different if that's okay.
It is. Go ahead.
We got a problem in this country with children being molested.
I agree.
And it was a big thing in the 50s. It was a big thing, and it's still a big thing now. And one of the problems I got with it is that when these people do these things to these children, them is the ones that get the free ticket. They don't want to call the police because them is family members. But we need to deal with this problem. It's a serious problem.
Yes, definitely.
And then when you go through something like that, you don't care how much years pass. Mama, it ain't easy. But we need to deal with this problem. It's
Yeah.
sad, sad. It's very
Why have
sad.
you brought this up today? How come
Well,
you decided to bring it up?
I was trying to get through this program a long time, but this is not the easiest program to get through to. I don't know how people just get through every day. You're sure you're scan getting.
But there have so
But
many times when I am just waiting for you all to speak to me. I'm glad you got
yeah,
through.
but if
So,
you got it, that don't mean that the other person got the timing, or that's how it is. But
yeah,
I
true.
don't know what you think. How we could get this problem dealt with.
It is a very serious problem. We have a problem in this country with incest as well, that I don't think is often that people know of. I'm not sure the extent to which these cases reach the law courts. I spoke earlier about social sanctions, and I think these do exist in our community that make people fearful, perhaps, about reporting some of these issues. There's a lot of shame attached to reporting some of these things, but people's lives are being damaged. When I read the court pages at times, I am honestly alarmed to see some of the things. Last week, I think it was, there was one case in the court pages about a teenager who was allegedly raped multiple times by a family member.
Yeah, you saw that
This
one, yeah.
is very disturbing. And for each of these cases that is reported in the newspaper, there are others that are not reported. And dealing with this after the fact, perhaps you can find some level of justice, but we really do need to work to prevent this. And I think there may be a culture of this in Barbados and in the Caribbean that we need to address in a very serious way, rather than just looking at this as a criminal justice issue. What do
But
you
this
think
problem,
we can do?
well, I don't know, but this problem is a world problem. It's a serious world problem. And I was
It
watching
is.
a channel on my phone last night coming out of India, and how India talk about it. It's serious. I know India brutal when it comes to things like this. Because even the women at 24 and 25 is get raped by six and seven men. I mean, I can live
Yes.
in places, but in places brutal. In places in easy. I don't talk about South Africa. Shh, for a woman to walk about Mala, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to say though. But we have some young, we have men in this country too, especially young boys that sell their bodies for money. So we have a lot of problems in this country. We have a lot of problems, but people need to be locked up for these problems, man.
But
They need to be locked up.
it's one thing to identify that we have problems, but I think we cannot always just leave this as the responsibility of those in positions of authority to think about how we can address it.
But
So, as much as this disturbs you, I think we may need to start thinking about what we can do. What do you think that you can do? What
Well,
would
some
you
of the family
recommend?
members need. Well, I know about a case that I don't know, and the mother tell me don't say nothing, but I don't know. Because of COVID and hard times, and I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. And this is something that comes up. People
Yeah.
don't necessarily want to report people because they may be financially reliant on these individuals. So,
Well, look at the damage of
there are places
Detroit.
that you can call anonymously if you are
Well,
concerned about something that you've seen.
look at the damage of Detroit. Well, if I got proof, I won't be doing a call and be dealing with that myself. But look at the seriousness of who is left a child. That's something with years you don't get over that. Don't care what you do. It's serious, man. You need to put some of these people behind prison. But there's left one family to go and deal with another family all the time, and it don't stop. And it goes from young to old. It's ridiculous. You need to stop, man. But thank you for listening to me.
And thank you for calling. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Let's go straight to the phones. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. All right. I guess we've lost that person. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. People are dropping out. Yes. There you are.
Is that me?
Yes, it's you. Yes. Go ahead. Speak.
What I want to talk about is temperature checks and the insistence that it must be done on your head.
Okay.
I have gone to World Health Organization website, and this has been so since the 27th of May, 2020. The World Health Organization said temperature checks are of no value. It's on this site under a subsection called COVID Myths.
You can Google website? Yourself.
World Health Organization website.
Okay, thank you.
There's a section called Advice to the Public, and then there's a subsection called COVID Myths. And it says temperature checks cannot detect COVID.
That's true.
So they have ceased. Right. Why do the incident device must be checked on your head? The devices that you use to check the temperature is a device called an object body thermometer. It can check your temperature in any part of your body, and it can check a bottle of milk or a car's engine the same way. Why must it be done on your head? And people are insisting that it be done on your head or your neck. It can be done on your forearm. And I've been trying to get through to the COVID unit for the longest while to discuss it, but I can't reach anybody.
I've gone to places where they have checked on other parts, so they've checked my wrist or just on my arm. But a lot of places do still use the forehead.
I kind of go to the post office this week, and the young man there who was a guard got on like a pit bull. Oh. If you ain't got your head, you can't come in here. I said, but sir, it can be done on my forearm. Well, contact me in the morning and actually tell me to change it.
Well, sometimes people are just following what they have been told. So if someone superior tells them that that is what they're to do, it may be wrong, but they are following their orders.
But I try to reason with them. And I even show them on my phone, the world, don't show me nothing. I won't see nothing. Mm-hmm. And this has been so I would like the COVID unit to issue a dictate rescinding that thing. You can check the temperature any part. It's not necessary, but if you insist on taking temperatures, do it any part of your body, not on your head. I don't want it on my head.
Okay. That's fair enough. I also went to a session that was about the resumption of schools. That was some time ago. That was before the school year started. So in August, it was an online session. And I thought it was really interesting because one of the things that one of the speakers said was that testing every student coming into school's temperature may not really be that helpful. That schools are free to do it as, I guess, a precautionary measure. However, there are many people who have been diagnosed with COVID who have not had any fever. So you can take everyone's temperature. They can be within the acceptable range, but you can still have people in the school setting with COVID. So they really emphasized having other things in place at the school, such as the physical distancing, the sanitizing, things like having staggered lunch hours and break times, because testing the temperature alone will not keep COVID out of schools. So I think that is quite useful information. But if people want to take the temperature, let them take your temperature.
No, but not on my head. I fear for the children because children are developing and one doesn't know what effect those devices have on the human organism. I'm told they're safe, but who knows that for certain? And you put it to a child's head repeatedly, I don't know what's going to happen. I feel if your temperature, do it on my forearm, not on my head. And a lot of government institutions are insistent it must be on your head. It can't be anyplace else. And that the exercise itself serves no purpose.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, fair point. And thank you for sharing that with us. We will take another call now. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Miss Hines. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How about you?
I'm well, thanks. How is Daddy? He good?
Last I checked, he was doing right. well.
That was my old school mate from 5 to about 9. Listen, from okay, 8, 5 to 9. Listen, temperature check.
Yeah.
It is what it says, a check. It is not a test. And I discussed this with Dennis Johnson now, I see, months ago. There's three precursory things in place. Distancing, masking up, and sanitizing. It is a right. humbug. It is a humbug. Okay? And this thing yes. about you have to turn around and let them in. I didn't even have to go on WHO site. It was used initially when you had masses of people moving, like at concentration camps. Refugee camps.
Mm-hmm.
Like refugee camps where you had an outbreak and you had to move quickly. All right? So you use that as an elimination. Or when you're boarding planes, places where you sit for a long period of time, et cetera, et cetera. And it serves no purpose if you do not leave your biostats, name, age, telephone number, whatever. So it is a waste of time. I've gone to 3 or 4 establishments. They tell me, a man come up to me and tell me, turn around. I said, who's next? You're not sharing a sheet. Good day. Goodbye. But that's not what I really called to say. I heard you with a gentleman there just now about wearing the mask when you pull up at a gas station.
Yeah.
I was about 3 behind a couple of months ago when we were in the lockdown. And I saw a young lady, you know, very effervescent, rush up to the driver's window, and down came the window, and she spoke, and she got mine. I put my mask on. I said to her, Miss, if I were you, I would go on the other side, the passengers, deal from there. Because this thing has to do, Miss Hines, with viral load. In other words, concentration. You have all your air conditioning kicking, you cool and sweet, and it turning over, and somebody comes innocently, push their face, how can I help you, sir? And everything rushes out on them. But yes. what I am concerned about is I've seen at a gas station, their gas attendants have to sanitize their hand with raw alcohol. All right? It is raw alcohol. No. In addition to that raw alcohol, when you're holding the pump, part of the gas vaporizes onto your hand. So you're getting a double dose of gasoline and alcohol. Both of them are solvents to the skin, and therefore it is damaging to your skin surface. Every day it thins out your skin. And I've seen some
wearing gloves, though.
Pardon?
I've seen some gas attendants wearing gloves.
Right. But the ones I have gone to, I haven't seen gloves. I would recommend that they wear gloves. And it would have, pardon? Go ahead.
I was saying my concern was that the gloves are not being changed often enough. Because I did go to get gas, and the gas attendant had on gloves, and the glove had a hole in it. Uh-huh. And I asked him, shouldn't you be changing your gloves?
What kind of gloves?
So I just, there was just some black.
The vinyl ones, the surgical ones.
The disposable ones that, you know, they have in the box that you pull out to.
Right.
And, you know, he didn't take me on, and I just got my gas and left.
Well,
but I do think that you need some protection, even without COVID, when you're dealing with those kinds of substances. Even cleaning at home. A lot of us don't put on gloves, but we really should, especially with all this hand washing and sanitizing and then cleaning products.
That's right. I think they should put immediately after they're finished, let's say a few runs, they will tell them how much two gloves cost. 25 cents? Can't be no more than that. And then when they're finished, sanitize and put a good emollient base on your hand, something which the ladies like to put on their hand and keep them nice and soft, and that is it. The other thing is the vaccines. I've been hearing now some talk from the other islands about the vaccines and how many they intend to bring and how many they don't. Ms. Hines, the head honcho at the WHO. Now, if you are fearful that the big industrialized countries, the better off ones, are hogging up the vaccines, you know, in every bad, there's some good. If you are vaccinating them, and we tell them, which we didn't want to say a few months ago,
The only way you come into my country is if you have the negative PCR, but the one that I was going for was what you call the positive antibody test, which America now includes in it.
Is
right?
that the fast or, test? What they're calling the fast test?
No. Now, this word fast test, Ms. Hines, is very confusing. People see that a test as a test and a fast test as a upbeat as a variation on the upbeat of the PCR. The fast test, it has 50 to 70% inaccuracy. All right? In other words, it can give you a false negative because you've got
this
false negative.
This is the antigen test. This is the
fast. You see, no, they are all the same.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it is PCR test is a test by itself. That is the one that they refer to in the literature as the gold standard.
Yeah.
What that test does is to mimic what goes on in your body. In other words, Ms. Hines goes to an ATM. It's closed. You go. You pull in. But the person went there just before you. Had two or three good strong sneezes. You've gone in merrily, sanitized, what have you. But Ms. Hines gets a small fraction of viral protein into her respiratory tract, into her nostril, gone in, and she comes back up very merrily. You haven't been in contact with a primary, secondary, tertiary, but then a week goes by and you start coming down with symptoms, and you grow worse. Now, that took some time, some 7 or more days, before your body actually expressed the virus, all right, that you're carrying the virus. Now,
and can I ask how you know all of this?
Well, my training is I'm a biochemist.
Okay.
And a medicinal chemist. My studies were in biochemistry, medicinal chemistry, but I'm not one of the people that when I left university, I stopped reading a book. I continue to read. I'll follow.
All right, go ahead. Continue. Sorry to interrupt you.
That is a very good question. You don't know unless you ask questions. That's what mm-hmm. the little Belgian children don't do. They don't ask questions. People hush them up.
So I can lend you my son. He asks plenty. But
let him ask you the question. That's the PCR. So it mimics what goes on in your body. And that is why you have to wait 8 hours. No, that is what you call the polymerase chain reaction. It is a chain and it is a reaction. Okay? Now, the antigen test, which they might call the viral test, and I think is another third name which you call it, all the same. But that is a test. Something like how you do a pregnancy test, where it is another type of enzymatic test. But that will take half hour, even maybe 45 minutes. But the thing about it is, every tuk bagaila, as we say, has jumped because when America was confronted with this deluge of COVID cases, I don't even think they've gotten over it yet. They had problems in testing, and people wanted back the results quickly. But once you are a company in biomedical, you can engineer a test both physically and chemically with the reagents to suit the cause. You only got to know what the gene or the genome is, and you can structure it accordingly. So a lot of companies came on board, and the Food and Drug Administration did not have the time to sort of vet them and give them a passing mark and say you're... So they had to do, I think the term is self-validate. And so you know what's going to happen if you ask Ms. Hines, your fish good? You can say, I mean, fantastic. That catch this morning, fresh in it. So most people were saying, yes, ours is good. I don't know if they've actually got around to evaluate it to them one by one. But the two which stand out are the Abbott, the Roche, and I can't remember the third company. But even they do not go beyond 50 to 70%. Accuracy, right. So you've got to be very careful.
You wanted to say something about the vaccines, all right?
But you asked me about the fast test. So I want to get you away from disabuse your mind about this fastness. And with the fastness comes a degree of inaccuracy. So inaccuracy could come for one or two reasons. You've tested the person at the wrong time of their ailment, and okay. or your reagents are ineffective. And in science, anything that's 50 to 70% inaccurate at any time is not worth, in my opinion, going by. Now, okay. the vaccine. Dennis asked a very good question the other day. I think Dr. Lard was on and somebody else was on. But I don't think he was satisfied with the answer. And I would say to Dennis, boy, you read the literature, you listen, and you yourself make up your mind. But I was saying, if all these big countries that we depend on for our tourist trade, if each and every one of them is told, and this is where I came up with the test, if each of them is told, I wrote an article on it called the positive antibody test, not test, visa. So now you should have, when these people are coming here, you should have to have a visa based on a vaccine, your vaccine visa. Don't come if you don't have a vaccine visa, full stop.
All right.
Now, what that would do, that in itself would create a herd immunity. We would become like a bubble. And anybody okay. going out of Barbados, hey, you must have a vaccine.
All right.
So you would create a bubble, you would create a sort of herd immunity, as it were, and let the people just go ahead. If you don't have to travel, you don't have then to take the vaccine. Wear your mask and continue to do what you have to do and live fairly reasonably relaxed.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you. I really enjoyed that. Thank you for your call.